Good morning. So a leaked document obtained by The Nolan Show has flagged up concerns about the assembly expenses system. It says some MLAs have been overturning decisions to refuse their expenses claims by going above the heads of assembly staff. There is now a war of words between the assembly and the regulator that sets MLA pay and expenses. The Nolan Show editor, David Gordon, has the details. Good morning, David.
Morning, Stephen. Now, just to set out some of the background, you remember yesterday's show when Alan McQuillan was on? He's the Assembly Pay and Expenses Regulator. And he complained or claimed there was an unofficial secret appeals system where MLAs were challenging decisions to refuse their expenses claims. The Assembly pretty strongly challenged what he said. Well, now we have our hands on a leaked document from IPSA. That's the Westminster Expenses Regulator. And here's the key section.
Was given to us where a staff member had, in our view reasonably, requested justification for a high-value bill, ostensibly incurred while on holiday. The MLA in question was unhappy at being asked to provide justification and had, we are told, escalated the issue to the senior management of the Assembly. Such an approach is not, in our view, acceptable. MLAs should expect to provide detailed justification for each call they make on public funds and should be ready to provide such justification if requested to, even by junior Assembly staff. We were advised of one or two instances where MLAs, having had a claim refused, would approach a senior member of the Assembly staff directly or through members of the Commission. Often these approaches were successful in getting the earlier refusal overturned. This informal, ad hoc approach is not a robust mechanism for reviewing refusals of claims.
So just reading more from this report. One example was given to us in this report, David, where a staff member had, in our view, reasonably requested justification for a high-value bill ostensibly occurred while on holiday. The MLA in question was unhappy at being asked to provide justification and had, we are told, escalated the issue to the senior management of the Assembly. So an MLA, according to what was told to the authors of this report, is on holiday, submits expenses and doesn't want to provide justification for it.
Yeah, just to fill in, this report was submitted in September, so it's pretty recent, September last year. So it does show that some MLAs, a small number, have been overturning decisions. So that raises the question, where does this leave the row between the Assembly and Alan McQuillan? I should say, just to be clear, this is a row partly about terminology. There isn't a formal institutionalised parallel secret expenses appeal system. But IPSA has flagged up about this, what could be called a back channel ad hoc approach, with some decisions being overturned. So IPSA was clearly concerned, and Alan McQuillan will say its report totally vindicates his concerns.
Paragraph 56 of this report, we were advised of one or two instances where MLAs, having had a claim refused, would approach a senior member of the Assembly staff. Now remember, this is after a claim is refused. The MLAs would approach a senior member of the Assembly staff directly or through members of the Commission. Often these approaches were successful in getting the earlier refusal overturned. So presumably a junior member of staff makes a decision, an MLA goes to a senior member of staff, or actually goes through members of the Commission and ends up getting the decision overturned.
That's MLAs, according to this IPSA report. And IPSA goes on to voice particular concerns. It says this approach is not a robust mechanism. It says that it does not allow for improvements in the validation process. It may give rise to inconsistencies, and it's unfair on those MLAs, presumably a large majority of them, who accept the initial decisions and the refusals.
So, obviously, this leaked report, David, that you've got your hands on, raises more questions, right?
Yeah. Well, we know that the Assembly said Alan McQuillan's allegation was incorrect, that there was an established official appeals mechanism for MLAs, and that this mechanism is, quote, open and transparent.
Which Alan McQuillan would dispute, because he described it on this show yesterday as a secret appeal system.
Again, we're back to terminology. They didn't know about it. Alan McQuillan is one of the regulators for the Assembly expenses. He didn't know about it.
Well, how would a regulator not know about it?
But he only found out about it when he got this IPSA report. This issue, it should be said, was also raised on the floor of the Assembly yesterday by DUP MLA Peter Weir.
There have been, over the last couple of days, some erroneous and mischievous allegations against the Assembly which strike at the integrity of the Assembly. Can I ask the Speaker on a couple of points? Firstly, there's been an allegation of a secret appeal mechanism in terms of expenses. Can the Speaker confirm that no such appeal mechanism exists or has ever existed, that there has never been any challenge to the determination of the panel, and that indeed the only query that any member can make is a query with directly with the Finance Office, which has been published and in existence since the first members' handbook in 1998, and that during that whole period, no query has ever been brought to the Commission itself as regards that.
So, Peter Weir obviously didn't know that we had this report in our hands. I don't know if he has seen this report or not, but there are certainly questions to answer. And anyone that is suggesting that there is no story here, when you have an official report, and we have it in our hand today, which is saying that overturning refusals has disempowered junior decision makers, does not allow for improvements in the validation process, gives rise, may give rise to inconsistencies in the treatment of claims. It cannot, in the authors of this report's view, provide the accounting officer with certainty about the regularity of spending. Remember, this is your public money. We recommend that the review mechanism is strengthened so as to be entirely formal, documented and consistent, and is introduced as quickly as possible. So, David Gordon, on the one hand, you have Peter Weir in the Assembly yesterday, you know, calling the story and the commentary around the story as mischievous.
Yes.
And you have the official report here saying that the review mechanism needs to be strengthened.
So we have asked the Assembly about what EPSA found, and you have that response, Stephen.
Yes, I do. Where are we here now? The Assembly says about EPSA, contrary to previous reports, it did not identify a secret appeal system, given that no such arrangement exists. It noted a small number of instances where the mechanisms in place for members to seek a review of a decision on any claim, as set out in the Financial Support for Members Handbook, may not have been followed. And it added that it believes the Members Handbook addresses the issues raised by EPSA. Well, here's the thing. To the Northern Ireland Assembly this morning, you say there is no secret appeal mechanism. It was a secret to the regulator. He described it as a secret. So just stand back from this for 2 seconds. How can something not be a secret if the regulator doesn't know about it? So it wasn't a secret to the MLAs. To be fair, it was published in one of these members' handbooks, but the regulator in Northern Ireland didn't know about it. And let me just remind you of some of the stuff that has been going on. An MLA on holiday with a high value bill wants your public money to settle that bill. He gets angry, or at least was unhappy, about being asked to provide justification. Now imagine in whatever company you work in that you're on holiday and you bring back a high value bill, do you expect to hand it to your employer and the employer to hand over the cash in pound notes? Or do you expect to hand in a receipt? Do you expect to hand in justification? And I'll read that paragraph again. One example, a staff member requested justification for a high value bill ostensibly occurred while on holiday. The MLA was unhappy at being asked to provide justification. Other instances where MLAs, having had a claim refused, would approach a senior member of the Assembly staff directly, or they would get members of the Assembly Commission to approach them, and then they got their expenses decision overturned. Does that feel right to you? We've been talking to the leader of the SDLP, Colm Eastwood, about this morning, and to the DUP's Sammy Wilson.
Yes, I am concerned. I note that the Assembly Commission did release a statement that argued with many of the points that were made. I've asked our Chief Karen McKevitt to meet with the Assembly Commission as a matter of urgency. I want to know what has happened. I think none of us really are in possession of the facts. I think it's important that whatever happens, that we have the most transparent expenses system that we can possibly have. And I can tell you that the vast majority of MLAs do your best to do a very good job for constituents, and nobody that I know is on the make. And we need to ensure that we have the most transparent system possible. I don't think it's good enough that there are any questions.
The regulator says this has the potential to damage the integrity of the Assembly and the principle of the determination column that the regulator set down, that MLAs are basically going, questioning it, second-guessing it, and getting the principle overturned.
Yeah, well, I want to know the facts before I would make any comment based around that. But the most important thing is that we do not have any kind of controversy or any kind of questions around the integrity of people.
So what needs to happen now?
Well, we need to find out the full facts. And I know that the Commission did release a statement yesterday that seemed to argue with the points that Alan McQuillan and others were making. I want to know what the full facts are. That's why I've asked my representative in the Commission to call for an urgent meeting of that Commission and to come back and tell us what is actually going on. I need to know what's going on, because we do need to. It's very, very important that politicians are seen to be and are as transparent as possible when it comes to claiming expenses.
And Samuel Wilson, yesterday's show, I know you probably didn't hear it, but Al McQuillan, the regulator, saying that in his view there is a secret appeal system. That's something which the Assembly Commission denies. But that being put into the public domain by a regulator is surely damaging to the integrity of the Assembly, or has the potential to be, Sammy?
It does. And I think, first of all, people will find it incomprehensible that some of the money which Sinn Féin got for research and weren't able to produce any evidence of that research is something which would be very concerning. I think, unfortunately...
Al McQuillan's concerns go beyond Sinn Féin.
I think neither the regulator nor the Assembly Commission cover themselves in glory in some of this. I mean, Alan McQuillan has made some stupid statements as well about offices being totally neutral, and you know, even though it's associated with a political party and a political representative, he doesn't want any political signees or anything about it. So I think, I mean, both the regulator and the commission need to look at the way in which they deal with expenses.
But Sammy, you know how
expenses.
Sammy, you know how it works up there, right? And one of the issues highlighted in the report, the junior assembly staff were making decisions, Sammy, and that MLAs were going to more senior people and having that decision overturned. Are you aware that that happened? And if it did happen, is it right or wrong?
No, I'm not aware that it happened. And indeed, I can tell you from my own experience, there was no such appeal mechanism. In fact, I had some really bizarre decisions made by junior members of staff in the Assembly Commission and in the finance section, which were upheld. And which they wouldn't budge on because of when I was both an Assembly member and a member of the Parliament of Westminster. My experience has been that they're totally intransigent when they make a decision. That's it. There's no change made in it. There's no allowance made at all. So, I mean, it hasn't certainly been my experience. I mean, over the years, I had wars with them, none of which I came out of with any success.
What needs to happen now, Sammy, finally? What needs to happen?
They simply regarded them. Well, I think that the important thing is there has to be an assurance that the system is not open to abuse. There will always be people who are chancers who will try to abuse it. But by and large, I have found that, first of all, the scrutiny of the finance section, the Assembly, was very, very tight, that they didn't allow lax decisions be made as far as spending was concerned. But I think that given the public perception, it's important that that's proven as well.
OK. Sammy Wilson, Colm Eastwood, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Now, both Colm and Sammy were actually on to talk about the Brexit issue, which you will hear them talking about later. We recorded that just before 9 o'clock this morning. Peter Weir has now been in touch with the Nolan Show to say he is happy to stand by his position. He says there is a mechanism where any member can query a refusal of an expense. This is not secretive, says Peter Weir. It is contained within the member's handbook, which is published annually and has been available for 18 years. The report you reference concludes that we did not identify any major issue of concern within our terms of reference. If any claims were raised with senior staff, says Peter Weir, I am not aware of a single case brought before the Commission. This is out of around 8,000 claims a year, or around 150,000 claims during the full lifetime of the Assembly. I fail to see how this constitutes an ad hoc system of appeal. So, Peter Weir, if you just think about what's been said there over the last 60 seconds, one member of the DUP saying there is a mechanism where any member can query a refusal of an expense, and Sammy Wilson, a long-serving member of the same party, the DUP, saying he had never heard of an expense decision being overturned. It had certainly never happened to him, and he was not aware of it. So, Peter Weir knows of it, Sammy Wilson doesn't, and they're both in the same party, which starts to bring you to where's the consistency, which starts to bring you to how come some MLAs think that they can go and get a decision overturned and other MLAs accept the decision in the first instance, which starts to bring you to question who is the MLA that decided when they were on holiday that they didn't have to provide justification for expenses, took umbrage at being asked, and it was your public money that would be paid back. We're going to try to find out who that MLA was, by the way. Sam McBride from the newsletter. Morning to you, Sam.
Morning, Stu.
Good morning. Many politicians up at Stormont attempting to say there is no story here.
They are, and they were led yesterday by the Speaker, which was quite telling. I mean, the Speaker obviously represents the entire chamber, but generally he stays out of things which are controversial, but he was making very clear that he was not happy at how this had been reported, and specifically was very unhappy at how Alan McQuillan and Pat McCartan, the two members of the Independent Financial Review Panel, had spoken out about this over the weekend. So that in itself was quite unusual, and it's also very telling, I think, that for another day there was no statement really from any of the major parties at Stormont, certainly.
Well, Colm Eastwood now, Sam, sorry to interrupt, but Colm Eastwood on this programme a matter of minutes ago has now said, and he's the first party leader to have commented on this, he is now saying that he has asked one of his MLAs to meet with the Assembly Commission as a matter of urgency to find out what happened.
He has, and the Assembly Commission are at the centre of this. But, I mean, proactively, nobody yesterday from any of the major parties came out to comment on this other than Peter Weir standing up in the chamber to make that point of order, and a very brief point of order from Katrina Rhiann. But, I mean, in a situation where this story began with something in the order of £150,000 worth of questionable expense claims by Sinn Féin, and obviously it's moving far beyond that now, but that's where this began. You would expect that at the very least the unionist parties would be asking very public questions and very difficult questions. So it's certainly quite unusual that we're not seeing that.
So where's the justification, Sam? The potential justification, if we read from this leaked report that, and remember this is the regulator saying this, that an example of how our public money is being spent is where a staff member had requested, basically an MLA was on holiday and put in an expenses claim. It was refused, and when he kicked off about it, the staff member, sorry, that's wrong. Let me just read this precisely. One example was given to us where a staff member had requested justification for a bill which was high value, incurred while on holiday. The MLA was unhappy at being asked to provide justification. What type of climate is there, Sam, in the Assembly, at least among that MLA, where they don't think they have to prove what they've spent on holiday?
Well, it's very damaging, and I think to the bulk of MLAs who do try to stick to the rules, and there are an awful lot of rules now, it has to be remembered, after the whole Westminster expenses scandal, it's got to be pretty disheartening if they listen to this MLA is not being named, so potentially everyone is being tarred with this brush. But, I mean, it sounds like the sort of situation where someone has been on holiday, perhaps they have had a big phone bill because there's been some sort of issue has broken back at home in terms of their party, and they've tried to claim for that. But the odd thing about it is that they haven't tried to justify it. So if it was, for instance, a phone bill or something else, you would think that they would be quite open about it and say, well, here are the numbers that I phoned, here's the issue, here's whatever. It's that reluctance to be clear about it, which is odd.
And the other rub in this report, Sam, and if we stay with that example for 1 second, not only was that MLA in question, but look, the MLA escalated the issue to senior management of the Assembly. So you have junior staff making decisions, and then MLAs using their power, using their influence, to go to senior management of the Assembly.
Well, that I think really, obviously, any system has to have some sort of appeals mechanism. But I think the way in which this seems to be operating would seem to undermine the staff who are actually making these decisions. And certainly, I mean, where you've got a situation where not every MLA seems to be aware of this, and yes, it might be in the member's handbook, but that's a very long document and goes through various revisions. But clearly, it's not something that everyone is aware of. It's not something that the panel are aware of, but some people are and are making pretty liberal use of it, it sounds like.
It would seem, Sam, from our reading of what's going on up in the Hill, that there is the official appeal system as documented in the members' handbook, and then there is this informal system, unchecked, unwritten down, where someone can go and call a, you know, be it a friend, be it a colleague, be it an acquaintance, be it someone they know in a senior role, and say, "Will you have a look at this for me?"
Well, I think David Gordon earlier was right when he said that some of the issues here potentially are around language. The Parliament building's set up, it's actually not that big a building. I mean, it's a few hundred staff. It's quite a small place where people do bump into each other. I think you can see how people would be informally raising something with someone who would have the power to overturn it. But it's not entirely clear whether that is the appeals mechanism itself, you know, if you can just go to somebody, or whether you have to submit something formally if there's a record of it, if, for instance, it can be got under freedom of information. And after the whole Westminster expenses scandal, the whole point of the Assembly bringing in Pat McCartan and Alan McQuillan and the independent panel was to try to move away from this sense that there was intrigue, that there was mystery about what people were claiming and that they were claiming perhaps wrongly for things. This just brings them right back to that, I think, where it's not entirely transparent. And, I mean, for instance, all MLA claims are not published proactively on the Assembly website. But I think the logic of that is that if they are going to be appealing about things, that also should be made public, just to clear it up and to be fair to all the MLAs who are not partaking in this sort of activity.
And then you have long-term members, you know, the likes of Sammy Wilson, long-term member of the DUP. He had never heard of this system, never heard of a way of appealing, said that when he had questioned, as he had many times, some of his expenses, trying to argue his case, he had never got anywhere, found that they were totally intransigent. And then you have this report saying other MLAs were able to do it. It's pretty unprecedented, Sam, to have a regulator in a war of words with a political body like this, and meanwhile the politicians, many of them, trying to say there's no story. And meanwhile, I'll point you to paragraph 59 of this leaked IPSA report, which says, "We recommend that the review mechanism is strengthened." So IPSA's saying the review mechanism needs strengthened, and Colm Eastwood, the only party leader, to say he needs to look at this as a matter of urgency.
Well, I think part of the reason why some MLAs are probably so exercised about this at the moment is that in the next couple of months, they are going to have to take a decision about how to replace this panel. And it's clear that they don't like this panel. They feel that it's been too tough on them. Now they're at open war with them. But I think it would be much more difficult now, given that this is out in the open to a certain extent, to brush it under the carpet and to bring it all back in-house and to just have the Assembly staff sorting these things out. I think now that this panel have come out and said we have serious concerns, and IPSA seem to have backed up at least some of those concerns, and I think that strengthens the argument that either IPSA or the like of Paul Bewe from the Committee on Standards and Public Life or someone from outside the Assembly ought to be really overlooking this. And of course, remember, it was BBC Spotlight which actually exposed this. I mean, if it wasn't for journalism coming in and having a look at this from the outside, none of this would have been known.
Well, they might be looking at this again. I have no idea, but they might. I don't know. Sam McBride, thank you. Danny and Carrickfergus, morning to you, Danny.
Hello, Stephen.
Go ahead, Danny.
Hello. Well, most of my questions were answered there, and Sammy Wilson answered the biggest question of them all. You always talk about the EDA selling drugs and smuggling oil and all this. See all them ones that are up in the Hill? They don't need to do that. They just go into our pot and take their money for their expenses.
Well, remember that we're talking about a small number of MLAs here, Danny.
Who said that? Who says it's a small number?
The regulator. In the report, in the IPSA report, it talks about one or two cases. It talks about small numbers of MLAs. We are not talking about all MLAs in any way.
Where's it? Give the names out. Who's doing it? Where's the names if you've got this leaked document?
Well, there are no names disclosed in the report.
Well, you know he claimed for the expenses. Does it not give the name of who's done this?
Why do you want to know?
Because something should be done about it.
What has angered you this morning, Danny?
Them MPs up in the hill. You keep on saying about these smart people up in the hill, they're educated men and they know that. Yes, they know, can't they?
Well, it's about accountability, Danny, isn't it? It's about transparency. It's about you being sure that your money, because it is your money, it's public money, is being given appropriately.
Yes, well, the regulator denied them, said they weren't getting it, and then they go up to a committee in the hill and they give it.
Well, what the regulator does is the regulator sets the ground rules. The staff interpret those ground rules, and then if some of the MLAs don't like it, they go and try to get it reinterpreted. That's what's happened. That's what's happened.
Why have a regulator?
And remember, the regulator didn't know this was happening. That's what he told us yesterday. He described it as secret.
Oh, yes. But the regulator was put in that job to do all this stuff. And then the MLAs are, no, you've no one. You can't do that. We'll decide whether you get it or not.
Here's what we're going to do, Danny, on your behalf and everyone else's behalf, because Colm Eastwood is a leader of a political party now. So he's the leader of the SDLP, and he is investigating this through one of his MLAs as a matter of urgency, okay? So he has sent one of his MLAs to meet with the Assembly Commission as a matter of urgency. We're going to go to every political party in this country and we're going to ask them if they feel that there is any investigation needed now to ensure public confidence in the integrity of the expenses system in the Assembly. And remember, when you say those two words, politicians and expenses, we saw what happened across the water. Let's see how the other political parties react. Jim in Belfast. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Jim.
I think it's a disgrace that it's not clarified. And there's an easy way to clarify it. They talk about the members' handbook. Get hold of the members' handbook and read it out on air. And then we can all decide for ourselves if there was a mechanism or if there's not a mechanism.
Yeah, but from our reading of it, Jim, this is about an unofficial appeal system. So there is note of a way of challenging something in the members' handbook, but this is a separate way that some of the MLAs are using.
You see,
I don't even know if you could call it a system. Remember, the regulator didn't know about it, but this is MLAs walking up, according to this IPSA report, walking up to senior people, telling them that they don't like the decision that's been made, going over the heads of staff who've made the decision and getting their money that way.
Well, Stephen, it's totally against the rules if that's the way it's happened, because the rules are very clear. You're not allowed to do it. It's a simple night. I saw the speaker last night on Peter Weir.
Just to be fair to Peter Weir, let's hear what he actually said in the Assembly yesterday.
There have been, over the last couple of days, some erroneous and mischievous allegations against the Assembly which strike at the integrity of the Assembly. Can I ask the Speaker on a couple of points? Firstly, there's been an allegation of a secret appeal mechanism in terms of expenses. Can the Speaker confirm that no such appeal mechanism exists or has ever existed, that there has never been any challenge to the determination of the panel, and that indeed the only query that any member can make is a query directly with the Finance Office, which has been published and in existence since the first Members' Handbook in 1998, and that during that whole period no query has ever been brought to the Commission itself as regards that.
So how come, Peter Weir, how come in this IPSA report it's calling for the review system, the review mechanism, to be strengthened? How come, Peter Weir, if there is nothing to look at here, how come This report is talking about undermining, this IPSA report is talking about the potential to undermine, disempower is the word that's used, junior decision makers. How come, Peter Weir, this IPSA report talks about the potential to give rise to inconsistency in the treatment of claims? How come, Peter Weir, this official